Paul Vangelisti has published more than 30 books of poetry and is a noted translator from Italian. In 2015, he edited Amiri Baraka's SOS, Poems 1961 to 2013 for Atlantic Grove. And I think there were at least two earlier books that Paul had a hand in by Baraka, collections. And in the same year, his book of sonnets called Solitude appeared in a bilingual edition in Italy. In 2016, a new collection of poems, Border Music, which I think is on the table here, was published by Talisman House. His translation of Adriano Spatola's The Position of Things, collected poems 1961 to 1992, received the Academy of American Poets Translation Prize in 2010. Paul Vangelisti lives and works in Los Angeles. Paul.
I'm not going to read all of those. No, don't worry. I'm going to read four poems altogether, three from this book, the book that's over there, Border Music, 216, and then I'm going to read, this is from a chapbook, it's one poem, not the whole chapbook, seven pages. I'll talk about that in a second, because Martha's Unfamiliar Familiar is part of the series, and Sunday we're sort of inaugurating the new series, the 217 series here in San Francisco. It's free to everyone at Bird and Beckett over in Glen Park. But I'll talk about that in a moment. So this book, Border Music, is poems from around 2008 to 2014, something like that. And it begins, I guess these are all poems I'm going to read, poems to teachers of mine, some close to my age and some considerably older. The first poem is called Azusa, a sequel, and it's to two people who sort of were my teachers when I went to LA. I mean, not formally, but in the good sense of the word, people who I was able to understand the life of art from. One's an artist, and one was an artist. They're both deceased, and they both died within a year of each other. One at age 46, and one at age 50. One in a car accident at age 50, and the other one age 46, from a terrible disease, back in the 70s. And there was a show at MoCA, Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles, and somebody, that they wanted poets to write about LA artists. And so this is dedicated to an LA artist, Wallace Berman, who did wonderful collages. And you owe it to yourself to look him up, Wallace Berman. And Stuart Z. Perkoff, who was the poet, who's a poet associated with Berman, and they both became friends of mine and both died untimely deaths within a year of each other, one in 74 and one in 75. So a lot of the poems in here are about remembering, and Border Music today has a lot of significance. It has that significance. I live near a border, right? And also there are all kinds of borders in life, and one of the ones, as you get older, you get more aware of, is the border between being and nothingness, you know. Anyway, Azusa, a sequel. And Azusa is a town in the suburbs in the San Gabriel Valley of Los Angeles. And the urban legend is, it's a great urban legend because it was devised by copywriters, those great urban legendists. And they said, and when you went there, they used to have billboards there in the 20s. I think among the first tract houses in L.A., though compared to today's tract houses, anyway, they're very cute little scaled-down mansions, right? Green and green, you know, little green and green houses. And the motto was, when you entered, A to Z in the USA. We have everything, A to Z in the USA. But Azusa turns out to be actually an indigenous Gabrielino word that means the waters, because the San Gabriel River flows through there. Anyway, Azusa, a sequel. Another porch light left on, another way back, exacting, shimmering along the bone. another ox or angel, another appetite so grand, its arithmetical value is one. Busted, cracked, the mirror inside the front door, lost voices on a radio, intermittent ticking and scratching, even a daybreak hillside peacock shriek sometimes leaking through the surface. An easy sound, an entrance no longer there. Sea or gimel, with an arithmetical value of three, where optimists abound, willing to arrange anybody's camel. He slides a hand along the wall, feeling for the switch, then stops, waits for the darkness to ring. Does it divide or simply declare a warm source where we suckle and worship? A door we must move through, as you say, with the fact of our abundant flesh, its arithmetical value rhyming with four? Every day almost the winds move as breath across the city from west to east to the steep arroyo above the river, a drift and stir whose value is five, an occasional troubling of the waters. 5 minutes have passed when our subject reappears, flopping behind the wheel and then gone downhill. Five senses, balancing revelation, whose arithmetical number is six. Given seven cracked mirrors, a gaunt heart enameled bravissimo, the eyes of the dead, the clamor of snow, our harvest moon speaks but once and hardly means it. Hunger for movement, a stolen bone in the maws of energy, an hour unlike ours that must always come, a plight more venture than romance, an abyss makes audience of us all, and of Hamlet a well-hung Polonius. Is the most impolitely hermetic in the system, in the yawn from hand to eye? Silly bird in the sky, is it a marvel pointing, a history of talking mostly about oneself? Keeping a hand half-closed, hollow of the hand translated from Semitic tool to symmetrical kappa, question following like a perfumed skin or moth to sleep. Its arithmetical value is 20. Linking arms and wings, an extension of the sky herself, despite those acoustics of time. Phone any latitude you might, you will probably find laughter, cousin or father. Maybe it's the water, as once it smelled mother in a capital of lunatics whose whispering spills the dashes tricking one to sleep. Water mother, dribbling a faint smile on our melodrama, she doesn't forget. No obstacles but a burning leaving it all behind. Grandfather, father, son, a progress, a hunger, disoriented and finally symmetrical. Fish by any other name that makes finicky escort. Its arithmetical number is 50. O, smallest of any sign in the writing, a noise, a jumble, an old heart with an oar, a chaos trapped inside the head, echoing the eye fed in a stormy circle. Pe or pi, meaning mouth, open mouth, creature of repetition. Until near the start, one lutes the decision that the dead find esoteric climb to preen like arrows shot in reverse. Purpose, or is it living, makes for such a poor tool. Question is, impaled on the hook of God, what doesn't seem to be an answer or even much of a question? Just a history of rocks, of emptiness and terror. The oldest monkey in the book, its arithmetical value is 100. Reversing its head as we perceived it, before it was aroused and rowed ashore, is the purer climb like music already housed in your wilderness? Who can wait? So it was named the tooth, with its impelling music, as you called it, gowned, perfumed, jeweled, a sweet rhyme eternal. Beauty and truth, a snake if there ever was one, with an arithmetical value of 300. There it goes, there it goes, there it goes, and ever the wrong tempo. Who might tolerate or even sever the hand you cannot kiss if offered nightly on the wind? One grows tired here and there of translation. Victory doesn't deserve the question, since a person plays the piano, the good doctor claims, for the same reason a spider spins webs. 6 may be its arithmetical number, but it was love ate the red wheelbarrow. X, you explained, became a slithering hiss echoing through our cosmos. Unripe, my X's, knelt like alphabets in your snow, growing remorseful of the future. Then again, who's playing skittish in the duty of your abrupt school when value is bound for X? Zounds, you exclaim, must be Azusa, the old A to Z in the USA. 0, zip, nada, almost a perfect start, as the blue hour outcries the earth rotating under us, and Z, not X, marks the spot. Clearly that's an alphabet poem, right? And in this book there's a lot of them, but anyway. And it's the Hebrew alphabet, right? They're like in Italian, 21 letters, okay, not 26 as in ours. And they actually have names, you know, like this, 22, sorry. We have 21 in Italian, 22 in Hebrew. Like one, the gimel is the camel, which became gamma in Greek, etc. I'm gonna read two short poems from this collection, two other masters. One, unfortunately, not with us anymore, who died, Ray De Palma, New York poet, who died at the end in December 2016. And this is from the section of the book actually called Border Music. And these are all acrostics, and they all have to do with music. And so these are all plays on these people's names, right? This one is called 6 o'clock, and it comes from an old immigrant Italian saying that, you know, when they came over by themselves and they were starving and etc., they would all say 6 o'clock and no mangia, because Americans were weird, you know, they ate at 6, right, in the old days. Few of you are that old to remember that, but most of you don't. But at one time, families ate at, for proper, ate at 6 o'clock, right? The news was at 6, you ate at 6, right? Had the radio on, listening to the news. Anyway, so the Italians, immigrants in New York, played off of that, and they'd say, you know, 6 o'clock and no mangia. Yeah, it's 6, but we got nothing to eat. So anyway, 6 o'clock for Ray De Palma. Down there, caro, just below the window, in sight of your writing desk, is where it lies. Possibly lingers or prevaricates, almost the same when it comes to song. Long as its measures, what it means when it means the swing in one step or honey in the jar, already surrendering to what passes by. Right here, of course, above the heart of it, as elephants haven't thundered up Broadway just yet, presto unwinds his magic wand slow enough to make us all reappear, spooning dreams out before the sun goes down. Poof! And again, noise accumulates until it's just a matter down here of how disturbing the need to sing. I have two more short ones from this. This is for an Italian critic and writer named Guido Finck. Yes, that's his name, from a very old Italian Jewish family from Ferrara. He was a cousin of a man you might have heard of, probably not him, but you probably saw the movie called The Garden of the Finzi Contini. It's about what happened to the Jews during World War II, especially like him. They were, you know, sort of ruling class and wealthy, and they had these beautiful villas, and they had these beautiful gardens, and they were all safe behind the garden walls, they thought, right? Anyway, this is for Guido Fink. And it's called La Bergamasca. And La Bergamasca was a 18th century dance, 17th century. The poem explains this, very, very simple. 17th century Italian violinist and composer Marco Uccellini, from country dances of the time, balli popolari, where women and men face across the room, stride toward each other until they are just about to touch, and then back again, at varying tempos, occasionally lackadaisical, not often frantic, con facce toste, deadpan, in that rural air. May we too, Rabbi, find love in exile. And the last one is for my master of masters, Thelonious Monk. And you probably all have heard Monk's music, but one of my favorites is one that I think it got re-released, but it's not played often. There are none of his compositions on it. And, you know, he's a great composer. It's called Monk Standards, and he just plays show tunes, standards, including magnificent version of T for Two. You know, he plays some of the worst crackers you ever heard, but he plays T for Two that's just inspired. My Foolish Heart, you all know how that one goes, right? I'll sing, the last line is from My Foolish Heart. The truth in the tale and or teller, here now, speak up in the wind carving time. Ever lost is everything you couldn't find or found and lost again to that flame of words. Losing it one more last time in the name of growing older, here, there, now and then, neglecting to hear anything but that shame of rhyme in the world, words whistling in time to wind under the fine dazzling bone of something somebody might care to lend a whisper to. Mostly time was when it wouldn't be said, or wasn't spent in the wind winding up now like a world in those stark hands that know whose lips are much too close to mine. Anyway, that's border music. These books are a series. I'm really a masochist. I can't stop publishing. John McBride and I started it a long time ago, 1970. We're going to flatter ourselves, and probably it was earlier. But anyway, 1970, and we had all kinds of publications, and there are people in the room we did publications with, and we've published. And I'm about to retire, so really to make it even worse, I suppose, I started a little series of chapbooks called Magra Books, named after a river in Italy that flows into the Mediterranean and forms. Technically, it's the Bay of La Spezia, but actually it's called the Bay of Poets. It's where Shelley died, and Byron, when he was visiting, of course, Byron swam all 24 kilometers of the bay. You know, he swam everything. He swam the Hellespont and whatever. And Goethe had a house, everybody. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's just a big, long bay, right? The first three books start with Martha's Unfamiliar Familiar, and they're epigrams by Art Beck, who's in the back. They're not his, they're Marshall's translation of the Latin poet, but they might as well be his. They're wonderful, wonderful translation. And Ray De Palma's For a Curved Surface, and Dennis Phillips' Desert Sequence. And there's a second series in which I did a collaboration with an Italian artist. It's called, I'm gonna read from this book, it's called Tootaloo. Then there's a play by a poet deceased, a radio drama, was done in 1980, called The Dodo. A memoir of another poet deceased when he was a communist and gay, which wasn't exactly advantageous in 1950s America. And he took off for a couple years and lived in Europe. And it's a memoir of that time. I think very interesting. And finally, a brand new book by a very, very interesting poet Gillian Connolly, who lives here in the Bay Area. It's called Preparing One. This is really the title. It's a great, the book is really good. It has to be to have a title like this. It's like, you know, the old one about Thelonious Monk. He better be good with a name like that, right? This title is called Preparing One's Consciousness for the Avatar. Anyway, and these books we're going to be celebrating, the recent series, and so Martha will be reading, and Gillian will be reading. Neely Cherkovsky in the back has a book coming out soon from the press on his homages to Ezra Pound, and other books coming out. So this is at Bird and Beckett at 2:00 on Sunday. You're all invited.
In Glen Park.
Yeah. In Glen Park, yeah. It's in that, right there in that little shopping center. So, there's a BART stop right there. Okay. What am I doing? I'm reading from here. Okay. I'm going to read this poem. It's called Toodaloo, and not to say much about it, except to say that it came out of a conversation that this artist and I had. So he took my manuscripts, and he does a lot of collages. He did collages on them and all that. It came out of a conversation we were having about the labyrinth of history, and how, as you get older, begins, you know, Martha talked about this too, how what you see is not what's there, and you begin to see that what's there is a labyrinth, and it just keeps getting worse. And Toodaloo is this thing I imagine that two old communists passing on the road of history, right? Fellow travelers, we used to be called, passing on the road. What do they say to each other? They say Toodaloo. Anyway, here we go. Here's some of the collages. As soon as the music starts, the story's older than you think. Notes gathering around a tall bird that doesn't seem to move, he do fly so low. Also common, the toodaloo in passing, a fellow traveler, headed differently, slew-footed or not, depending. A postmodern stew served exceedingly well in the semiotic prosperity of Reaganism and Clintonism, denying history anew. Who remembers what it means to be a fellow traveler? Who remembers to remember otherwise? The song, not the moody, brings the news. Afternoon breeze from the west ringing the arroyo. Ease that slew-footed diffidence as it pleases the demon nudging you awake at 3 a.m. Toodaloo, fellow travelers, it's a long way back to the mouth of the river. At least remote enough that you can't be other than the last thought you sang. River, river on the wall, blues the color changing with jay wings spilling mornings into the kitchen. Red's all the virtue one can muster to overcome the animal fact and rabid faith in number. Tea for two and two for tea, a little too far from history's shadowy tune. Oh, toodaloo yourself, given a moon the size of a barn in the early night sky. Southeast of coming home to a May evening mild enough to know your father. An earlier adieu on a strip mall Starbucks, fingering the change for the citizen squatting out front, holding up a funky little sign you pretend not to read. How far must you travel then? And with whom to reach the melody of Kukanya, motherland of Kakane, anew? And what of Eads Street, EADS? What of Eads Street, 2 blocks long in the heart of Frogtown, Los Angeles, USA? And what keeps you wishing it might have been otherwise, falling in and out of love with all those impossible sisters of the poem? Would it be the name of the downtown street that used to be called Charity? So name the 3 all-time second basemen in total home runs, whether you remember it or not, or the weather for a few more days stays this mild. Now most of the clues have been found, and the motive seems clear enough. Who profits most? who has opportunity. At lunch, a friend offered that one doesn't move closer to the truth, but to virtue. And this just downhill from Oppen's, who, when asked of his 20-year absence from writing poetry, noted, "I was busy trying to overthrow the government of the United States." Nothing new, of course, just the past affirming how absolutely nothing happens. As to what's anew in this neoliberal corporate state inscribed around the lid of organic beauty cream, no cruelty, no preservatives, no concern. Two. Across the avenue, on a wire, a pair of sneakers, heels first, heading west, as all good intentions. When a man dies, say the Paiute, he is known to have gone west, to the sea, a most wondrous sea where stories end in tall waves of mauve horses and buffalo. Anything lost or forgotten, like the solemn fellas posing shoes on the bumper of anybody's car. Black and white and gray fedoras, one face behind the others, hatless, bow-tied, unremembered. Why, or to ask how, did they come this far to the end of a story that made little sense in a language hardly anybody understood? Once here, they were no longer there, or any place, really, but the kitchen table where dreams began and ended with legends of what there was to eat tomorrow. And came this far, time forgiven the story it dragged behind. Only the emptiness remains. Out here in grandmother's song of a little bunch of daisies in a faraway countryside. Soon they learned that language of lost flowers in seasons gone by, so there'd be only there, here, a furtive destination we find running from us, a wisp of cloud at sunset, reddening and silver. Three. Ruthless undoes the finity. Let me have a drink. Where is it? It's the last section. Excuse me. Ruthless undoes the finicky liquid of ours. And then who has love to love? Around midnight, the beating heart skips a beat or two, alert for what leads away from the story. Soon the crack and thud of a car door, smart pitter-pattering, and another crack and thud. 20 miles, more or less, to the first breakers and day's end. Or is it the story dreams that blue hour, the never-ending expanse that rolls with us in sleep? 20 miles, and we find the day again, heels first, rolling. How far have we come? Surely past the cruel houses, the front steps, the street corners clutching their balls like rosaries, lifting their scorn at those who drive by. He wakes to a still cloudy blue, still cloudy blue in translation. A long way, you think, measuring the distances against the old dispensations, crucifixes, scapulars, holy water, Sunday dinners. Another time, you want to say, though the way that led from there seems now just as remote. History's shadow, where we hope and wait. The distances between love and expectation leave little but words behind. One reaches his 70th year and still can't help to live out poems he'll never finish, living ever more curious, confounding as love itself. Surely the end of a century of dreams, bloody as any, bold and hopeful as any, the promise of the adventure called socialism was murdered in its sleep. Now there's only tango after tango, a labyrinth of forgetfulness where all's represented, little invented. Night and day, east and west, following the sun, as we look to bring the music clear of rain and swollen rivers, a rising wind at our backs, as we keep reaching the end of the story, another chance at beginning. Why so many fables in place of song? Dawn or dusk no longer carrying a tune fresh as the upstream breeze in fiercest July. Dumb words and expressions instead seeking escape in the drowsy current of falling back to sleep. Two fellow travelers, stepping from the shadows of another century, pass on the street and say, toodaloo, upholding a terse syntax as that night socialism would be murdered once again in sleep. Syntax of a murder most foul and a sleeplessness to come. A pause in the telling, or is it further into the labyrinth? What was that animal flashed in the dark last night below the house, across the hillside, so fast, seemed to be gliding? It was dark and silver gray, and well after midnight. In fiercest July, with an ear to the heat of her belly, names fulfill the story as love for a moment suits the illusion of survival. Blah, 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 doo-wop, da-bop, all the things you aren't. A river that carries us toward the mouth of song. Stick to the channel under the red cliffs. Kick the rhythm up now and then, spilling us past dangers of that no longer simple life. Last year he came in a different craft, a different time of healing. Now's another season to begin, to find another way past the hope of returning. Heat of the fiercest July, the shape of her belly. At twilight, a whisper of clouds traces the borderlands of these wanderings. Lately the same each lingering dusk, sighting the shortest distance to the start of the music. If hell is one read too many years ago, is other people, what then is history? Growing darker, all traces of borders disappear. There is one accidental peal of a church bell, a dog's bark three times, a woman's vulgar laughter, and other more literal silences. A while longer in this sentence may be the whole story. Alas, dusky wisp or two as night falls. Surely a long way from that migration, east-west, following the sun and the broad, shallow current fed by tears of love. Pale rose and silver blue, the slowest ending. Whose nightmare, whose history will you become? The blue hour, the horses breathing just below in the street, tomorrow as it might have been. If history's hell, how to survive the future, or at least the beginning of another? After all, Nausicaa said just a year ago, happy people don't make history. So what is it gives life to thought, puts words in the way of time? After all, said the long-limbed princess on that lost island. Seems ordinary enough upon waking. A tepid sprinkle or two, and then the birds back to song. Clouds, a heavy gray hanging far down river. Here, there, hardly a welcoming place, more a melody in passing. Thank you.